This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is retired U.S. Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. You've seen him on countless embed missions with U.S. forces in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he's also the author of the brand new book, American Heroes in Special Operations. And Colonel, it's always great to have you with us.
Greg, it's great to be with you again, friend.
Let's get your thoughts real quickly on some of the key national security issues in the news right now. Obviously, official Washington and many people mourning the loss of Ambassador Holbrooke, who was our point man in Afghanistan and Pakistan. As there will now undoubtedly be some new personnel involved with that policy and perhaps some changes moving forward here, what would you encourage this administration to focus on as this mission continues?
Well, it's probably mission impossible at this point, but I would certainly encourage the commander-in-chief to withdraw his commitment to start withdrawing American troops next July. And his absolute deadline is all combat forces out of the country by 2014. And here's why. What he did a year ago when he made the commitment for the surge, he also announced the beginning of the withdrawal. All that did was encourage the Taliban and their supporters in Pakistan and elsewhere around that part of the world to hang on because the Americans are leaving. It told our allies, don't get too committed to this because we're going to pull out on you. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, it told Karzai, who's not exactly Thomas Jefferson in his own way, that he'd better cut whatever deal he could because we're going to bail on him. Now, those three things in combination have given General David Petraeus a real handful in trying to win this war. He is winning it. I came back from this last trip out there in November thinking it's changed dramatically since I was out there in the spring. And as you know, Greg, I don't go out there for just, a 3.5-hour trip. I go out there for weeks on end. I watched the changes that have taken place this in that six-month period, as dramatic and profound as anything I've seen in war, and I've been to a bunch of them. And the young Americans that we've got out there know we can win this, and I'm talking from David Petraeus on down. What the commander-in-chief has now got to stop doing is talking about, well, we're just going to find a way out. What he's got to do is define victory, and that's very simple. It's a pro-Western government that can respect the rights of its own people and protect its own people from its neighbors and its internal adversaries, and is a friend of America at the back end of this whole thing. That's a victory. And Barack Obama needs to say that and say we're committed to that. And that will have profound effect on the outcome of this war in the short term. What you're now seeing is special operators like the ones in this book who are going out there partnered with Afghan units that we've trained to read and to write. Remember, this is a country with the highest illiteracy rate on the planet Earth. And so they had to first train soldiers how to read, how to write, how to read a map, how to call in fire, how to get helicopter support over a radio that's articulate, and be able to describe exactly what's going on the ground so they can get their own reinforcements out to it. All that has taken place in 6 months. What Barack Obama's got to do is walk away from this commitment that he made during his campaign and the one he made last year at West Point, saying we're going to start the pullout.
Colonel, you mentioned just now the major progress made in training Afghan forces, that there's a lot of folks out there who say that even if we push forward to victory and achieve everything you outlined there, it's very much a question of whether the Afghans will be able to hold that. Based on what you just said and based on what you've seen personally, how confident are you that they can once we achieve our military goals?
Well, I have much more confidence today than I did, say, 6-8 months ago when I was out there and looking at kind of the way it was being prosecuted. And this is not throwing stones at Stanley McChrystal, but the way it was being prosecuted was pretty much a formula for disaster. And I think you interview any of the troops that are out there fighting today, and it's mighty cold up in northern Afghanistan today. You think about that. Here we are sitting in a cold spell here on the East Coast, but it's really cold up in the shadows of the Hindu Kush. And you talk to these young Americans that are out there partnered with their Afghan counterparts, knowing that it's a tough fight, and bringing the Afghans along to the point where they can. I have absolute confidence we can succeed in this thing if they have enough time. And my hope is that the new Congress coming in is going to insist on that.
Colonel, obviously the war in Afghanistan gets an ebb and flow of media coverage. One thing related to the military that's gotten a tremendous amount of coverage in the last few weeks has been this debate over whether or not to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The Senate seemed to scuttle it, but now there's a standalone version of the bill that's probably going to be voted on in the House today and potentially the Senate by the end of the week. Based on your own time in combat, in the service, and all the time you spend around these folks now, what's your thoughts on this, or what are their thoughts on this?
Greg, I know this is family radio, but I'm going to give you a quote from the recommendations made by, this is Bob Gates, Pentagon, and the recommendations made by their so-called select committee that studied this, ostensibly for the last 9 months, although I'm not certain about the reality of that. The bottom line of it is one of the recommendations is to, quote, legalize consensual sodomy on military bases. Those words are actually in that report that apparently most of our colleagues didn't bother to read. Now, if you think about what that means to a family of a young 17-year-old youngster who's going to graduate from high school this June, and his family is a good, God-fearing family, and that youngster is also being told in those same recommendations, you're going to live with whoever we tell you to live with. There's not going to be any special exceptions made for separate bathing facilities or roommates or anything like that in the barracks. And you're going to tell that 17-year-old raised in a good, God-fearing family that we want your kid to come out in the military? Let me just tell you, it will gut America's military. This is about the worst thing you could do in the midst of a war to any military force, particularly this one.
The Secretary of Defense says that this needs to happen because the courts are going to do it anyway, so why not go down this road methodically?
Well, in the 17 years that the law has been, and by the way, the words don't ask, don't tell are not in the law. That's
right.
A policy. That policy of don't ask, don't tell will be continued because they're going to order recruiters not to ask and not to tell, right? And they're going to tell people coming in, don't tell. Find out later. So that's part that doesn't change at all under what Senator Lieberman's recommending. The worst part of it is that Section 654 found 17 years ago that homosexuality, active homosexuality in the ranks, is detrimental to U.S. national security. Nothing is going to be changed about that ruling 17 years later. And what I'm very concerned about is that they won't find 41 people. It's all it takes. 41 United States senators who will stand and say, we're not going to bring this up. It'll be brought up by the new Congress, and let's see how things go after that. But the rush to get this done in a lame duck session of the Senate and the Congress of the United States is unconscionable to the young Americans that are serving this country today that came from those good God-fearing families in enormous numbers. In that book, Greg, there's not a single stage photograph in any one of them. These guys gather around and they pray for one another. They're unashamed to be reading from the good book. And if you're going to tell the parents of that family, oh, your kid's going to be in the same military that I've documented out there repeatedly for Fox News Channel, then I'm telling you, anybody who believes that is either terribly mistaken or intentionally wrong.
Last question before we get to the book in more detail, Colonel, and that's how high is this on their radar screen in the war zone? Obviously, they've got much more pressing issues right in front of them, but how much are they thinking about this, talking about this, worried about this?
Well, you know, it just percolated up again when I was out there, you know, a few weeks ago, and I would tell you, I have never in all of my, I've now spent 67 years in or a part of or around the U.S. military, right? I was born in it.
Right.
I have never, there's very few alwayses and nevers in life, as I've learned, because I've been married for 42 of those years. Very, very few alwayses and nevers. I have never talked to a staff non-commissioned officer in any service, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, or Coast Guard, who thought that changing this law was a good idea, ever. Now, there's some young guys that say, what's the big deal? The fact is, the NCOs, the non-commissioned officers, the senior non-commissioned officers especially say, who's going to be left to train the next generation of Americans when we leave? Because the next generation of Americans needs the same kind of combat experience, the best educated military we've ever had. And that's what's required to operate and maintain and use the most sophisticated weaponry and equipment ever invented. And if you think you can replace that with a draft of non-high school graduates, I'm telling you, you're wrong.
Retired U.S. Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, longtime host of War Stories on the Fox News Channel, and now the author of American Heroes in Special Operations. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.